Live and local on AM 770 KTTH. Your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to The Todd Herman Show.
Today is the day the Lord has made, and I am thankful and glad within it. And these are the times in which God has decided we shall live. We have then, because of the times, a unique set of responsibilities, because we live in the time of unbelievable deception and division, and yet humor. I've missed doing Hillary Clinton's voice. I admit it. I was so glad when she was kicked out of the presidential race by Donald Trump. You guys have never seen this probably because a lot of you are new. You know, I did a happy dance. It was disgusting. It's the most disgusting thing. It's up on the Facebook page. I'm not going to pin it to the top. I don't even use the Facebook page anymore. I'm just not going to be part of Zuck's hate machine. That's there if you wanted to find it. I promised my listeners I would do a happy dance, and I did. Rance is going to stop by in about 10 minutes. Here's some really good news. Let me go through a series of pieces of good news related to the technocrats. Number one is that the New York Post has written or allowed to have on their pages an analysis about this is the headline, states with strictest lockdowns ruined livelihoods without saving lives. And this is just, it's unmistakably true. This is a piece by Ryan Fazio, who goes through many of the data we've talked about here, comparing lockdown states to non-lockdown states, comparing the death rates, and then also the unemployment rates. And the unemployment rates long term, there is a good, solid base of math that's showing people losing their financial futures, losing their jobs and their businesses, lead to initial groups of suicides in cohorts that wouldn't otherwise be suicidal. It also leads to a long term, you can see a 10-year fallout from events like this where people give up. And we see all the harbingers of that in this time period, not because of the COVID flu, which for most people is a mid to mild flu, like illness, but because of the lockdown deaths, right? And because of the lockdown measures. And this doesn't extend just into people who are young people who are killing themselves at record rates because their lives have been stolen from them without any scientific reason, none whatsoever. Well, except for the fact that the party is obsessed with getting kids to shoot up the mRNA injections. You will be told, just so we're all clear, the blue states, the communist states like Washington, separate country, they will insist that your children get the mRNA injections to return to school. They will. I promise you they will. They're already segregating people in this regard. It's great news that this is in the New York Post because these are people who wouldn't otherwise know this. Next week, we do the trial of Fauci, the initial installment of the trial of Tony Fauci. Now, clearly, I'm not a lawyer, and clearly, I can't put Tony Fauci under oath. I wish I could. If I could, there's no, Tony Fauci under oath with me. If there was actual a perjury charge he could face with an actual sentence, he couldn't survive. He couldn't answer a single question for me. Not one without lying. Couldn't do it. Because he would be so indictable. So Wednesday of next week, during the 6 o'clock hour, that whole hour is going to be the initial installment of the trial of Fauci. That's Wednesday of next week. To build up to that, we're going to take you through some of what I think that I believe we've covered the COVID flu more than any other talk show hosts and from a different angle, certainly from a different angle. So next week, you'll hear some of the evidence. You'll hear my discussion with one of the founders of the Great Barrington Declaration and you'll hear Tony Fauci's criticism of the Great Barrington Declaration. Then we could look back and see who was right. Dr. Martin Kulldorff of Harvard or Tony the Fauci. Now, it's easy to say that it's Kulldorff because that's true, but Fauci takes both sides of every position, every time. So it's difficult to pin him down, which is why he couldn't survive an actual interview with me. So that's good news that this is now in sort of a, quote, mainstream publication. Another piece of good news is this. In Switzerland, one of the largest hospitals in that country has banned puberty blocking drugs for children, for little kids, for teens. They've banned them because they're not certain they're safe. Really? Wow. You mean shooting a kid up with a drug untested that stalls their puberty, and by the way, the growth of their bones, and by the way, according to Professor John Whitehead out of Australia, that nation's premier pediatric professor, creates a 10% deficit in IQ, bone density problems, heart problems, muscle density problems, organ failure, all those things. Shooting kids up with that is such a bad idea that they're banning it in this hospital. Just as they have stopped many of these procedures at Tavistock in London, which was the gender-jacking clinic of all time. And they were bragging about, man, we're moving 300 or 400 girls a week through this. This is incredible. It's amazing to watch as nations wake up to this, except ours. Except ours. That's what we're seeing in our country. But shoot the kids up with mRNA. But shoot them up with mRNA. I'm not getting how people aren't alarmed by this. Because the segregation of society into people who have given up bodily autonomy and people who have not. Let's try this on for size. Let's try this on. Seattle Mariners announced a new seating methodology this week. Women who have not had abortions will be allowed to sit closer to the baseball stadium or closer to the baseball field. Seattle Seahawks with an interesting approach this week to seating. Women who have not had abortions will be given 50-yard line seats in the first row while supplies last. Women who have had abortions can sit outside in their car out in the tailgate party. Let's try that on. How does that sound? Doesn't work. Societally, does it? Now, what if private businesses decided to do that? What if private businesses decided to say, for people, well, let's do this with insurance companies. There are moves to have insurance companies no longer charge people who are obese more money. Well, how would that work? Let's try that out. Customers who accept a forced menu of salads and lean meats or tofu will get upfront seating at the Seattle Seahawks games. Customers who insist on eating nachos can sit in the parking lot with all the women who've had abortions. And yet, the segregation of society into these groups. And so next week, we'll go through the initial trial of the Fauci. And amongst those questions are going to be, is he willing to admit the statistical facts that we just went through last hour? 0.09% of kids who got the SARS-CoV-2 virus in their body died with it. 150 times more children died from other causes. Jason Rantz, 3 to 6 p.m. here on KTTH, omnipresent on Fox News. I've made the prediction. Jason will have his own Fox television program. Jason joins us next.
Shining a spotlight on the news you won't hear anywhere else.
Jason Rantz.
This story, it's not going to be on CNN. It's not going to be on MSNBC.
The Rantz Report on the Todd Herman Show.
May not be perfect, but it's still the best government we have. For now.
Good morning, Mr. Rantz and entourage.
Hello. Good morning.
How many in the entourage this morning?
One, two, seven, divided by three times pi. 12.
All right. So it's a smaller entourage
this morning. Smaller today.
We spoke earlier in this program, but you covered this so well that there's the interesting comparison. In Lake City, one of these homeless camps, finally the so-called officials went and said, hey, you need to clear out because there's been an explosion and a double shooting. But I understand that the public school where there's still this encampment, that's still not cleared out. But am I to understand that so-called Seattle health officials have brought needles to those so-called campers?
Yeah, so they have a needle exchange program, which is kind of interesting because they call it a needle exchange program, but they don't actually do exchanging of the dirty needles. That's what it once used to be, but it's no longer the case. So they simply give out needles to the individuals. They're clean needles, obviously, that they're giving to the homeless. In this one instance, they actually went on to the school property, they say, because the parking lot that they normally use near Bitter Lake was full. They said, this is the first time, the only time we've ever done it. I don't know if that's the truth. My assumption is it's the first time they've ever gotten caught doing it. There are people who, you know, have been monitoring this particular encampment that has been growing over the last several weeks, and they say no one yet has used the service. That's just based on anecdotal evidence. I don't know if that's the case, but yes, they have confirmed that is indeed what they've done. This obviously confirms, though, that the people there are using drugs. We've certainly heard the use of at least meth at this particular encampment.
I want to make sure everybody heard this. Since Jason has taken this story onto Fox News, since I've talked about this story on the EIB network, and since this has become a focus, this drug camp basically on school grounds adjacent to it, you're telling me more people have joined that camp?
I know, shocking that when you say we're not going to clear an encampment and we're going to let you do exactly what you want to do without any rules, that it grows.
Yeah, no, that is a little bit surprising. You also appeared on Tucker Carlson to talk about, I think this is a phrase you invented, vaccination segregation. Now, I think you and I differ a little bit on our approach to these mRNA injections, and that's cool because this is our radio station that honors that sort of approach. I am stunned that more people aren't understanding the madness of this. You've also uncovered something about these colleges that are demanding it for students, but not for
staff. Isn't that weird? That when you're a staff member who's very clearly, according to all of the data that we have on COVID, at a higher risk of a negative impact due to the coronavirus, you are not required to take the vaccine. But if you are a student, if you are a college-age individual whose risk of death is a tenth of a percentage point, you are mandated to take the vaccine. That doesn't make any sense. Now, the schools that are mandating that students take it are now the University of Washington, Pacific Lutheran, SU, Wazoo, I believe Western was announced this week as well. So the list of schools is growing. My assumption is by the start of the school year, most, if not all, colleges in the state will be requiring this. Obviously, check before you go into the year. And I'm assuming those announcements will be coming out in the coming weeks, because obviously they're going to have to give you enough time to go ahead and get vaccinated. Right now, Wazoo does require staff members to get the shot. The University of Washington does not. They're saying, well, we're still having conversations with the staff. Pacific Lutheran, which is the worst. Their communications people are literally the worst. I had to get very mildly threatening via email to get them to even respond to some of my questions. They just won't answer any questions concerning why staff members don't have to get vaccinated. And the kicker in all of this is, I said, okay, so you're making everyone get vaccinated, even though when we're talking about the risk to these kids being very low, and of course, we know that a large number of them have already got COVID, and so the antibodies are literally streaming through their system right now. Do they have to wear masks? Oh, we don't know. We haven't decided yet. Well, so like, so what message then are you sending about the efficacy of the vaccine? It is so bizarre, the poor messaging coming from the folks who are telling you to get the vaccine, which is safe. The data suggests that. But if you're also simultaneously saying, we also want you to wear a mask, including outdoors, where all the data tells you that it is, the transmission rate is infinitesimal, it defies logic. They don't know what it is they're doing. They have no clue what it is they're doing. And if the whole goal here then is to get the risk to zero, well, then we're screwed. Then nothing is ever going to change for the the future, ever, literally ever.
So we part company a little bit on safe. I will admit that it's a very small chance that you're going to be harmed by these mRNA injections. Very, very small. And when people are harmed by it, it's needless, particularly when you're talking about little kids who are at it's 9/1000ths of a percent of kids who have gotten SARS-CoV-2 have died with it. 150 times more kids have died from something else. Your risk reward, you are at greater risk injecting a kid with the mRNA injections, which don't impart immunity, according to Moderna and Pfizer's own paperwork. I find that insane for the little kids. But now these colleges that are not requiring this for staff, or at least requiring it for students, they understand that when these kids, these young people, have a greater chance of dying playing football, literally a greater chance of dying playing football. These colleges understand, they have now announced that if God forbid, one of these kids ends up with blood clots, or one of these kids has their blood platelets disappear, and I really like my blood platelets, I think they're great. If God forbid that happens, these colleges understand, they've raised their hand and said, we're going to go ahead and pay the damages, because the pharmaceutical companies don't.
Well, look, I mean, let's be clear. The colleges are not going to pay any of the damages of any of this. And you know that, and they know that. So that's going to be taken off the table. There's going to be complete coverage for that. They're not going to have any responsibilities. The risk reward there, and I think you're right in a general sense. I look at this for younger people the same way I do, even though I don't think COVID is the same as the flu. I do treat the vaccines the same for younger people as the flu. Does a 22-year-old, an 18-year-old who is healthy, do they need a flu shot? No, not in a traditional sense. Should they still get the flu shot? Maybe, in consultation with their doctor, right? I mean, I don't know the individual cases of every single person. Are they generally healthy? Do they hang out with people who are a little bit older who they could give the flu to or COVID to? If the answer is yes, then yeah, they probably should get it. Now, is the flu shot different from the COVID shot? Yeah, absolutely. Is there a lot more data behind the flu shot than the COVID vaccine? Yeah, absolutely. And I do think that goes into it. It doesn't mean, however, that the COVID vaccine is dangerous, nor does it mean that the flu shot is safe. There's all these different things that go into it. I think, again, generally speaking, when you're looking at the data overall, the data shows that both are still very safe. I do, however, say, number one, the government should not be mandating it. Neither should the government be mandating. Number two, you should be doing it in consultation with your doctor. If you have those conversations with your doctor and you two together agree that it is the right move for you, you should go ahead and do it. I'm okay leaving that up to the individual.
Yeah, I would just say this. Doctors don't know how these things work. I had a conversation with a doctor about this, who and it was a very fun, very friendly conversation. I just said, I'm not going to put nanolipid particles in my body because I don't need spike proteins in my brain. He goes, nanolipid particles? Where'd you get that? I go, from the paperwork, from the companies. He didn't know that was in there. Right. So I will just say this. There's no track record on building spike proteins or causing your genes to do things they wouldn't otherwise do. So I agree with you that the numbers are small. But again, for the kids who have a statistical zero risk from this flu like virus to inject it with this stuff, I don't understand the end game, why they're so obsessed with that. So,
well, I wouldn't put it in kids. When you say kids versus college-age students, we're 100% agreement. Right. Your seven-year-old, I wouldn't give this to. When we're talking about 18-plus, I think that's a different conversation.
Man, Jason, our program director is going to be all over us for clock integrity here, so you and I are going to get drawn into a meeting.
Yeah, look, take a break, Alex. Get in our ears and
wait, what's coming up? What's coming up? What's coming up?
Oh, I've got Abigail Schreier, author of Irreversible Damage, the Transgender Craze Seducing Our Daughters. Internal complaints over at Amazon tried to get her book banned. They actually said no. Amazon employees are ticked off. She's going to respond.
Nice. She's great. Jason Rantz Show, 3 to 6 p.m. Thanks for joining us this morning. The trial of Fauci will be in the 6 o'clock hour of Wednesday of next week. A couple things that will build up to that. You will hear the one and only radio interview that Ethical Skeptic has ever done. And if you're on Twitter and you follow things related to COVID, you'll have seen his tweets. He is perhaps, well, I mean, I will tell you this. The independent data analysts that I follow, Justin Hartz is one, and Ivor Cummings, Fat Emperor, is another. Kyle Lamb is another. They pretty much recognize Ethical Skeptic as the best data analyst working today. And he chooses to be anonymous because of the work he does in corporate strategy. And he's a former, he was formerly connected with naval intelligence. I know who he is. You know, I know his actual identity, or I wouldn't have brought him on the radio to do what we did together. You'll hear him discuss lockdown deaths that he saw coming and that anyone looking at the data saw coming. I asked him to come back on to discuss a theory he's developing. He is developing a theory, or at least looking at it. That's unfair for me to say. That's putting words in his mouth. He sees some data that may indicate that the COVID flu is transmitted through fecal matter. And not just fecal matter, but of course, fecal matter isn't just the stuff in the toilet. It's the stuff in the air. And he has looked at this for quite a while. And he's not prepared to discuss it and say, this is it. Because it's not his area of expertise, and he doesn't yet have enough data signals where he would feel comfortable saying this or presenting it, but he is presenting the data at which other people can look. And this is how he operates, is he puts his stuff out for basically, at ethicalskeptic.com, his work is submitted for crowdsourced peer review by people who are not anonymous and are credentialed and degreed in, you know, immunology, et cetera, epidemiology, et cetera. So you will hear him predict the lockdown deaths that we're seeing now. You will hear that in comparison to the Fauci. You will hear Dr. Martin Kulldorff, 20-year epidemiologist, completely non-controversial human being, who has been disappeared from polite society because he helped found the Great Barrington Declaration. You will hear him testify that changing cases from people who are known to have a virus, literally known to have it, into this mishmash guesswork of nonsense, it not just befuddled him. You will hear in that interview next week with Dr. Martin Kulldorff, you'll hear a man emotionally bereft at what has been done to his profession. I had the advantage of looking him eye to eye. That video is of that interview is available on our Facebook page, incidentally. I had the advantage of looking him eye to eye when I asked him about cases. And I said, doctor, didn't it used to be the fact that a case meant someone actually was confirmed to have a virus? Now it means nothing. And he said, it's so interesting that a layman knows that. B, he was so sad. He said, I can't believe what my colleagues are allowing to happen to our profession of medicine. That'll be Tuesday. Wednesday, 6 o'clock hour, will be the trial of the Fauci, using the Fauci's own words, by the way. And obviously it's a virtual trial. A lot of people are asking me about India. So let's go through a couple of dynamics about India. Number one for me is, if you look back at the coverage about India, there was a great deal of focus in my world on the use of hydroxychloroquine for healthcare professionals in India when they were dealing with the COVID, that they were using the hydroxychloroquine protocol and they saw lesser transmission rates, far lesser, impressively lesser. So that's never been talked about in the juggernaut media, the machine media, or the, what I would say, the Mockingbird media sources won't talk about that. Does that mean that that stopped working with these, you know, these new kids and this awful death rate? Well, not. Because one of the things that they're not talking about India is you talk about a bifurcated society. You talk about a have and have not society. That's probably directly proportional to where we're seeing these deaths. Here's another thing that's not being talked about. While the Mockingbird media didn't talk about the hydroxychloroquine protocol for physicians and frontline responders in India, they did make a big deal about how masked up India was. So impressive that everybody there loves the woke masks. So does that mean that the woke masks stopped working? Where they've seen this increase in what we're told are infections, and clearly there's people dying. I assume it's from the COVID flu or with the COVID flu, probably more likely with, and that's the case with everybody. This is just across the globe. With is 82, 88% of the cases from is very rare. You understand the difference. So they're not going to focus on the mask failure. Here's another thing that they're not adding for context. These 7 million COVID cases, 70 million people vaccinated, 48,000 deaths. This is something else they're not talking about. Geographically speaking, those happenings, the cases and the deaths, match right up to the areas where people have gotten the mRNA injections. The most vaccinated areas have the most cases. This is idiomatic to this virus. Happened in Israel, happened in Chile. We just talked this week. The most vaccinated nation on earth, these islands in the Indian Ocean in East Africa, was it Seychelles? I think it's 11 islands. The most vaccinated country in the world is reinstituting lockdown measures. Here's something else that the Mockingbirds will not cover about India. They just went through their winter. Winter always makes upper respiratory viruses worse. Always. Always. There's a number of people, a high percentage of people in that bifurcated have-not society of India who are unhoused, live outdoors, and they live in filth. They live in filth, like human fecal matter. Cholera still happens there. That's a disease from human fecal matter in water. These people are malnourished, which can cause you to be very susceptible to upper respiratory viruses. They don't have access to things like hydroxychloroquine there. There's this bifurcated society. Here is perhaps the most interesting of all this. Alex Berenson, as you know, just does a great, great job of providing the counter argument to the Mockingbird media. He points out from a newspaper in India. Headline, 30% of bed occupants in Bengaluru don't need one. Do you remember in the United States where they were hospitalizing people, quote, for the COVID, when they had come in for a sprained ankle and weren't even symptomatic? That's just some thought. Text Todd, T-O-D-D, to 800-465-8770. I'll have make sure Alex gets you all the data and more. I didn't have time for all of it about India, so you can have some context. Text Todd, 800-465-8770.
A Few More Things is brought to you by Heritage Homecraft.
This can't be right. Let me see. This can't be right. This. Oh, wait. Come on now. This is. No, wait. This is from CNBC. Certainly you could trust this. Let's see here. Wednesday, May 5th. Yeah, this year. CDC projects a surge in U.S. COVID cases through May due to variants before vaccinations drive a, quote, sharp decline. Huh. But that's not happening at all. It's almost like they want people naked and afraid. They should do a TV show called that, Naked and Afraid, where you put people on a desert island. Oh, they do? What? You're kidding me. That exists? But in my version, Tony Fauci's there chasing you around. Come on, wear the mask. I like the way it looks. So that hasn't happened, and we're still supposed to take them seriously. Okay. That's a fun game. The CDC's serious about stuff game. That's fun. Let's get into
just a few more things.
It's a quick arrangement of news-like items laid out into logical and sequentially ordered lists. Sometimes companies do what's necessary to get rid of employees they don't want. Sometimes it's called managing people out. Sometimes it's about making the work area so uncomfortable, the work life so pressure filled, that you just manage them out. You just get them to quit so you don't risk a lawsuit.
Thing one.
We do number the items and just a few more things, thereby adding order into a world being made purposely chaotic by the party. Remember, this is a good example. This is a fictional example. Just everybody know this isn't real. This didn't happen in real life. This is an actor, a couple of actors in a Hollywood movie.
Oh, and I almost forgot. I'm also going to need you to go ahead and come in on Sunday, too, okay? We lost some people this week, and we need to sort of play catch-up. Thanks.
But this part is real. Software company Basecamp, used to use their stuff, it was actually okay, has had a whole bunch of employees resign en masse, because the CEO, Jason Fried, announced the company would not be having discussions of social and political issues on any of their internal systems. They don't want talks of policy, advocacy, society at large. We don't want that. It quickly spins from pleasant into not healthy. It hasn't served us well, and we're done with it on our company Basecamp account where work happens. He said, we're going to talk about work at work or pleasantries like how's your family or isn't the weather nice or isn't our stock price underwater, except it's not. He also said we're going to get rid of some of the paternal benefits. We're offering everyone at Basecamp an option of severance package worth up to 6 months salary for those who've been with the company over 3 years, 3 months salary for those who've been at the company less than that. No hard feelings, no questions asked. For those who cannot see a future at Basecamp under this direction, we'll help them in every which way we can to land somewhere else. And a bunch of people took them up on it. This is a brilliant move. And it's not political. They didn't say from which side that they're not going to allow these discussions. They said they're not going to allow it. What do you want to bet? It's not conservatives who left. It's probably the SJWs. Next up in just a few more
Thing
days.
Two.
Now, at MSNBC, it went from, we don't discuss these things till we do, to now we scream at GOP governors who doing bills whereby boys have to compete against boys in sports.
We all know what an absolute advantage boys would have playing against girls.
But, sir, you have no examples of this happening. Why would you take your time to do this? Let's talk about other things that I can give you examples of in your state.
Okay, I have examples. There are two separate lawsuits from female track athletes who lost scholarships and state championships to boys who said, hey, I'm a girl, and got to compete against them. I do have those examples. Now, sadly, that governor didn't have those at the tips of his fingers, but thankfully, he did, in fact, enforce that law. Next up, in just a few more things. The number?
Thing three.
Can we do, Alex, we need to do one of these one day where we use the counting monster from Sesame Street. What was that? Countula? You know what I'm talking about? The
just the count.
Vampire?
Just the count.
It's just count. Is that Countula? How could you have
count? Count Chocula is the cereal.
I got that, but how could you possibly be so irresponsible on Sesame Street to not call the count Countula?
I don't know. It's Sesame Street. Aren't they run by people who want to destroy
yes.
America?
Yes, as a matter of fact, they are. Thanks for pointing that out. So did we do the thing? We did. This is also on lefty television. They see now, they see Caitlyn Jenner, who's apparently had the hormonal process to appear to be a woman, and it's a pretty good job, I got to admit. They've done a good job of this illusion. They can't stand Caitlyn Jenner now. See, Caitlyn Jenner doesn't get to be part of the intersectional alliance, even though Caitlyn Jenner has done that deed. Oh, because Caitlyn Jenner is dangerous.
Okay. So is she in any way qualified for this job? Right. I would go along with that. I think that she should take a seat and let somebody with the credentials take over a major state like California.
You endorsed Kamala Harris to be a great VP. You endorsed Mayor Pete to run the nation's transportation infrastructure. If Caitlyn Jenner was a leftist, you would be rhapsodical. Next up, just
thing four.
Oh, Stephen Colbert. Oh, we did this already. I don't like him. I'm skipping him. I'm sorry. It's about Mr. Potato Head. It's not great. So let's just skip number four altogether. No four for you today. I'm the four Nazi. Last up in just a few more things.
Thing five.
What is this? Host Regina King opens the Oscars.
It has been quite a year.
Yep.
And we are still smack dab in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We are mourning the loss of so many, and I have to be honest, if things had gone differently this past week in Minneapolis, right. I might have traded in my heels for marching boots.
Right. Yeah, you would. No, you wouldn't have. Come on. You would have had other people do your marching. I caught you. You're grinning. I caught you.